Hey, we've been on a series of lessons for the, this is actually kind of crazy to say this, but this is our 12th week that we've been looking at this series called Devoted. I hope you've gained some stuff from it. You know, go online at YouTube, or we've got a podcast if you want to search it out. I don't know what it is, but if you'll search Spectrum Church San Diego or podcast, you can listen to it or you can watch it as well. But we've been looking at this whole series about devotion and what God wants in our life, that we can be and should be devoted people to his cause and to his kingdom. And today I want to keep one word in your mind, and I'm going to ask you to think about this all day for the next 40 minutes that we're together teaching the word of God. And it's this word called sacrifice. Come on, say it with me. Would you do it? Sacrifice. Sacrifice is the lifestyle of the believer. There's just no other way. God has required us to be people that sacrifice, and we'll talk about four specific ways and then get to the main thought that I want to bring today as we close out this series. It's of no inconsequential thought that the same way that Jesus sacrificed his life, he is asking us to sacrifice our life for his kingdom, his cause, his people, what he loves. And so if our master has done that, we as servants or children of God, we must do the same. Let me give you some things. Look on the screen that the Bible says we must and we need to sacrifice. Firstly, number one, we sacrifice our bodies. We sacrifice our bodies. Romans 12, 1 says this, present your body as a living sacrifice. This is what you do. You present your body as a living sacrifice to God. You're not your own. The scripture says you've been bought with a price to glorify God in your body and your spirit that belongs to him. You don't own your body. God owns your body. So what you do with your body is of great importance to him. So the Bible's real clear. Take care of your body. Don't allow anything in your body that doesn't need to be in your body. Keep everything out that doesn't need to be attached to your body. Keep everything in that God wants in your life. We keep our body holy. We talked about weeks ago. We keep our body pure. We keep our body sanctified. We keep our body unstained by the flesh, by the world, and by sin. Are we perfect? No. But when we mess up, we run back to God and we say, Lord, I'm coming to you and I repent. I want to present my body as a living sacrifice. The scripture tells us, Paul said this, I discipline my body. I handle it roughly because I know if I don't, it's going to wind up dominating me. This is the Apostle Paul. This is a guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, I got to do something with my body. I got to discipline it. It's like a crazy junior high kid wanting to do all kinds of things. I got to bring discipline to my body. We sacrifice our bodies. Secondly, we sacrifice for others' needs. We sacrifice for others' needs. 1 John 3 says this, Jesus gave up his life for us, so we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. We are people that are required by God to sacrifice for other people's needs at their time of need. And let's be real, it's never a convenient time when someone's in need. You've got schedules, you've got things, you've got an agenda. Your calendar is full, but the scripture tells us that we are called as people of God to sacrifice for other people's needs. Not just people you love like your family, of course you should, but maybe people on the outskirts that God's challenging you that through your sacrifice might open up their heart to the gospel. We sacrifice for other people's needs. Thirdly, we sacrifice by serving. We sacrifice by serving. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 in God's Word translation says this, through Jesus we should always bring a sacrifice of praise. That is, words that acknowledge him. We just did that. What we did during praise and worship is that we are offering up a sacrifice of praise. We are offering up words that acknowledge him, the anthem of our heart, giving him glory and giving him praise and giving him thanksgiving. Whether we feel like it or not, you need to sacrifice in worship to God every day. The first thing out of your mouth when you put your feet on the floor shouldn't be, oh dear God, it's morning. You should be, thank God it's morning. Come on, everybody. Father, I praise you. Come on, I bless the Lord on my soul and all that is within me. I'm going to bless his holy name. Father, you redeemed my life from destruction. You crown me with loving kindness. Come on, you're renewing my youth like the eagle right now. I might be getting grayer and a little more wrinkly, but I'm getting stronger on the inside. Come on, three of you believe that. Okay, you must not be old. You must not be getting old yet. Somebody said this, the older you get, I didn't know you could actually pull a muscle in bed. Come on, everybody. Come on. Come on. Anybody know what I'm saying? But we sacrifice. Come on. We sacrifice in worship. We let the fruit of our lips just keep giving thanks to his name. We praise God. We praise God. We sacrifice in worship. Doesn't look like it's going great. I'm going to still worship God. The Old Testament prophet said, man, there's no fruit in the trees. There's no animals in the stalls. Yet I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to glory in my God. Listen, that's the kind of attitude God wants. It's called a sacrifice. A sacrifice, we'll say it several times today, will always cost you something, hence the word sacrifice. This is what pleases God. This is what honors God. This is what a devoted believer looks like. Lastly, we sacrifice. We sacrifice in serving. I think we said that. Did I mess that up a little bit, guys? Did I mess that up? I did. Okay. But we talked about worship. That was, I think, worship. I messed that up, the order. But we sacrifice by serving one another. Let me give this to you in Galatians 6:4. Let everyone be devoted. Come on, be devoted. Galatians 6:4. Be devoted to fulfill the work God's given them to do with excellence. And their joy will be in doing what's right and being themselves, not in being affirmed by others. Be devoted to fulfill the work of God. Be devoted. We serve one another. We give to one another. We're there holding one another's burdens. We're people who serve one another. Weeks ago, as we talked about devotion, we gave you a definition. I'll give it to you again today. Look on the screen. Devotion is someone who is loyal or dedicated to a person, an activity, or a cause. So when someone's devoted, they're devoted to a person, to an activity, or to a cause. This person willingly gives of their time, their talent, and or their resources. Again, these three things are huge for us: our time, our talent, or our ability, and or our resources. And if you're like me, when I read the Bible, the stories that stick out in my mind are stories that I find that grip my heart were stories and are stories of people that have just demonstrated amazing sacrificial devotion. It's like they do things and you go, how did they do that? What brought them to that point to just abandon themselves, abandon their plan, abandon their current situation, and just sacrifice everything to just follow God and do that? Listen to me, as we come, as the message, keeps going on, I just want you to think, don't say that's not me. I want you to think, I want to be that person. This is what I want to be. Society says, think for yourself. Keep yourself at the top of the totem pole. Everybody else under. Jesus flips it. He says, serve everybody. Be a person that sacrifices. Be a person that willingly lays down their life. This is the call of God to every single one of us. We're going to come back to the very last scripture we talk about, talking about the person I'm going to read to you right now from John chapter 11. But we're going to read her account in John 12 at the very last of the service. But it's this woman called Mary. Check it out in John 11, verse 1 and 2. Now there was a man who was sick, Lazarus, at Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Y'all remember that family? Check out what John writes. These four words have stuck out with me for several weeks. It was that Mary. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with her fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. In chapter 12, again, we'll read this at the conclusion of the message, but John in his gospel writes specifically about this woman's devotion and makes sure that her name is documented in the gospel forever and ever, and not to be confused with any other Marys in the scripture, which there were numerous. He says it was that Mary. That Mary. Lazarus and Martha's sister. Listen, this is something that I want for my life, and I so greatly want for your life, that when we leave here or when we move away or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be, that people have in their remembrance the sacrifice that we've done and said, you know, I've got several Marios in my life, but it was that Mario. It was that Mario that was there at the dark time. It was that Mario and Tina Portillo that came to my house, that brought a meal. It was that Mario that when I didn't know what to do, that showed up and gave and got me out of a bad situation. It was that Mario that visited me when I did something stupid and I wound up in jail. It was that Mario. I want to be that kind of person. How about you? Now, we're going to find this story with this woman in a moment, what she did that was so staggering, and God wants us to be the same kind of person. But as we said a moment ago, where we come in is that God's asking us to be just like this Mary, just like this woman, and just like these others we'll talk about in a few minutes that give and their time, their talent, their resources, recognizing everything we have has been given to us as a gift from God. So listen to me. I believe with all my heart there's a lot of Christians, and they're good at serving. They're even good at meeting the needs of others. They're good at worship. They're good at it. They're good maybe sacrificing their bodies, but which I applaud. That's amazing. But today, for the time we got left, I want to talk to you about this, that the importance of sacrificial giving, specifically just like what Mary did and what these others, we're going to find out, have done, that grabbed the attention of God, and God used them in a powerful way. I believe with all my heart that God's never going to ask you for something he hasn't already blessed you with or equipped you to believe for. God's not going to ever ask anything from you that he hasn't already deposited in you. And so as we set the agenda for the next, you know, moments we have together, let me give you two thoughts concerning what God's thinking. Here's God's heart. Here's God's heart. Look what it says in 3 John 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. John writes, listen to me, God's design, God's attitude, God's heart for you is that you would prosper in all things and you would be in health. Does God want you whole in your body? Scripture says he does, but he says just as your soul prospers. So look on the screen. Prospering in your understanding of how God thinks is the first step in you believing and acting on his promises. So prospering, I got to think like God. I got to think like God. I got to have some God understanding. Is God for me or is he against me? Is God trying to keep me down or is God trying to lift me up? Is God going to supply all my needs or is God not going to supply all my needs? Is God interested in my family and my marriage and my singleness or isn't he? What you need to solve that with what God has already said in his word. So you and I need to continually prosper in our understanding about how God thinks, because this is going to be the first step in you believing God and then acting on what he said. The word prosper is a very, you know, interesting word, is that people will fight, you know, church people will fight and denominations will fight, and of course the world will fight against the church when it comes to prospering or prosperity. But I'm just telling you guys, it's a Bible word. Just like I want my kids to be blessed, God wants his kids to be blessed. Come on, everybody. Prosper here means this. So check it out. I pray that you would prosper and be in health. The word prosper means to be helped on the road. That's what it means, to be helped on the road, to succeed in reaching. God wants you to prosper in all things. God wants you to be helped on the road you're on, and God wants you to succeed in reaching the thing that he's caused you to do in your life. That's what it means. That's what it means. This is huge. So I got to get the heart of God. I got to understand the heart of God for my life, or else I'll never sacrifice. I'll never be generous. I'll never give anything he's asking me to give. And so this is God's heart. And then check out, here's what God gives. So God's never, again, God's never going to ask you for anything he hasn't given you the ability to get. Never. Never. It'll be a sacrifice. It'll be a challenge as you renew your mind to the Word of God. But he'll never ask you for something he hasn't already given you. Deuteronomy 8, 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he, come on, it is he who gives you the power. Different translations, he gives you the power, he gives you the strength, he gives you the capacity, he gives you the ability, he gives you the might to get wealth. Why? Why? What's the purpose? That he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. God blessing you and me is about his covenant being established in the earth. There's nobody. Coca-Cola's not building churches and sending out missionaries. Amazon, Microsoft, Jeff Bezos, they're not sending missionaries around the world and concerned about God's kingdom. Listen to me. The only people who are the people of God. So God's got a direct access and interest in you prospering so that you in turn will be generous and sacrificially give to his kingdom and cause. Can somebody help a preacher out this morning and say amen? So here's what we've been saying for years around here. It's not just about getting, it's also about giving. It's not just about getting. It's not just about prospering and I've got, you know, all this stuff or whatever. It's about being generous and it's about giving. So we've said this multiple times that when we tithe and we're generous, we bless the poor, we bless the needy, we support missionaries, all because this, what it says in Deuteronomy 8, he gives us the power to do it. Come on, everybody. He gives us the power. He gives us the ability. He gives us the might. He gives us the strength. He gives us the capacity to get wealth. He says it. How? Why? So his covenant can be established in the earth. We said this during our confession, but here it is one more time. God is the owner and you are the manager. God owns it all. And yet he gives us resources to manage under his care. What we want to do is I want to look at four instances in the time we have left in the Bible about sacrificial giving. When I talk about sacrificial giving, I'm talking about tithing. I'm talking about giving offerings above your tithe. I'm talking about supporting missionary. I'm talking about just doing something crazy like every year we have big year-end giving. And last year, I mean, you saw at the entrance of the property, we've got to get a whole new sprinkler system in here and fix the thing out there. Not in here, but I mean out there at the entryway. And we thought it was going to be about $30,000, wind up being about $83,000. And so we didn't, you know, we all came together and said, go, let's just believe God. And about $65,000 or $66,000 came in from all of y'all. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if you guys did scratch and stuff or whatever like that, did scratch tickets or whatever. I don't know if you went to Barona or Saquon or Viejas, but I'm saying roll those dice, baby, whatever you want to do. Roll those dice. I'm kidding. Come on, don't gamble. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sort of. God's amazing. He'll just get some money to you, but don't do that. No, that's a whole other thing. But we want to talk about, are we okay, everybody? Come on, we want to talk about sacrificial giving. Let me just ask you this. Have you ever done that? I'm not talking about serving, sacrifice. Somebody called me at 10:30, and okay, man, God bless you. I'm not talking about, you know, I didn't really want to praise God this morning, but I lifted my hands. Glory to God. That's amazing. I'm talking about when there's a need financially, and God knows what you, do you know God knows what's in your bank account? You think you can hide it, and you know, and he knows. And in our life, there have been so many times, I'd tell you stories that shock you, that we just gave away more money than we ever should have, seemingly. And God is a God who will be in an owed relationship with nobody. God will continually reward those. I'm just encouraging you. We're going to read some stories here. So listen to me. Put yourself in the story. Put yourself in the story. Let's talk about the widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings 17. Elijah gets a word from God during a time when there's no rain, there's famine happening. God actually told his brother, hey, it ain't going to rain till the time you prophesy again. It's drought, it's famine happening everywhere. Terrible situation. 1 Kings 17:5. He tells him this, gives him a word, gives the prophet a word. Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I commanded a widow to provide for you there. Hold. I've commanded a widow to provide for you. We in a drought up in here. We in a famine, and you telling me a widow's going to help me out? God's going to work on the prophet, and God's going to work on the widow. Look at it. Look at the word. Don't miss the words. Come on, read this. See, I have. Come on, read it with me. Come on, one more time. Come on, church. If you got a command, you got no choice. I commanded the widow. We've been under this times before when it comes to sacrificial giving. It's like, what are you thinking, baby, about giving for this? And she said something, and I'm going, what? I think this is what God wants to do. Then I get praying, the Lord tells me to do that too, and I'm going, what? We've been commanded. I've commanded a widow to sustain you and provide for you there. Elijah then goes to her, finds her, and he asks her for some bread. And here's what she says. He asks for some water, and she actually gave him some water. He said, give me some bread. Chapter 17, verse 12. And so here's what she says to him. As the Lord God your lives, I do not have bread. Come on. I do not have bread. I only have a handful of flour in a bin. I got a little, come on, I'm getting ready to make my last tortilla. You understand what I'm saying? A little flour in a bin, a little oil. Look, little flour, little handful of flour, little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks. Here's her vision. Don't miss it. That I may go in and prepare for myself and for my son, that we may eat it and we die. This is called the Last Supper right here. How many know this is an awful situation? So if God didn't send the prophet to her, what's going to happen? She's going to die. No hope. And so God's interested in her living. So how's she going to live? He's going to tell her. How's she going to live? How's she going to get out of this dilemma? Sacrifice is going to be involved. So here's the sacrifice. Verse 13. Elijah said to her, don't fear. Come on, honey, don't fear. Go do as you said. Go get that flour, get that little oil. Make me a cake from it first. How many know if CNN, NBC, come on, Fox News was there, all those cameras would be on that brother. Pastor, prophet, asks for widow for last meal. This is just like the church. The church. I was talking to somebody recently here in the church, and they said that their family hates what she's involved with because she keeps giving her money to the church and the person can't see it. What's going on here? Make me a cake first and bring it to me and check it out. Afterward, make some for yourself and your son. So when you do what God says, you are going to have an afterward. Come on, you see that, everybody? She says, I got a little. I'm going to make it. This is what we're going to eat. We're going to die. This is it. And he says, well, listen, don't fear. But go ahead and make that cake, but bring it to me first. And then afterwards for you and your son. So he said, if you'll obey me, you're going to have enough for you and your son. Check out verse 15. She went and did. Come on, say she went and did. According to the word of Elijah, and she and he, Elijah, and her household, which was her son, ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the oil of jar, the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Come on, everybody say amen. Come on, amen. Come on, how many know that those are challenging moments? So her sacrificial giving check it out, saved herself, saved her son, and also provided for Elijah. So my giving, my sacrificial giving, my tithing, my giving, my missionaries I support, giving when we need a project around here, my giving is going to bless me, it's going to bless my family, and it's going to provide for the church, the kingdom of God. The second thing we see, second story, is David's offering that stopped the plague. It's in 2 Samuel 24. David sinned. You can read the account. David counted and numbered the children of Israel, and God said, don't do it. And 70,000 people lost their lives. He repents. He gets his heart right back with God, and the priest comes to him and tells him, here's the plan. Go build an altar to God and for a sacrifice. And there's a threshing floor by a man named Aruna. And he actually saw an angel of the Lord at that spot. And so the priest said, you need to go and you need to build an altar there. And you need to offer up sacrifice at that spot. And so Aruna, come on, this is the king, David. This is Goliath killing. This is a guy who's restored the kingdom, and yet he's done something stupid. But Aruna has a heart for God, and he says, listen to me. When the king says, he says, listen, here's the threshing floor. Here's my land. And he says, I got animals, I got ox, I got sheep. You offer anything you want as a free gift. I'm just so glad you're here. The plague is going to be stopped. Here's a free gift. Know what David says? Check it out. 2 Samuel 24:24. The king, David, says to Aruna, no. You're not going to give anything to me free. I'm going to surely buy it to you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing. I can't give sacrificially if it doesn't cost me. Whatever we give to God must cost us something. This is sacrifice. Sacrifice always involves a cost. I'm taking it out of my hand. I'm giving it to God. I don't know what you've done in our house. Early on, when mutual funds used to be a thing, we sold all our mutual funds and gave it to the building project to get in this church. 43 years old. No retirement. Zero retirement. Sold it all to get in this church. Why'd you do that? We had a command from God. God asked us a couple times. I could tell you stories and it would point direction toward me, and I can't go there. But giving that had lots of zeros at the end of it. Lots of zeros. After God prospered us through a real estate deal. How he did it, I don't know how he did it. But then he asked us to give sacrificially. Time and time again. And we just said, God, you're going to have to take care of us in our old age. And let me tell you what. I ain't nervous about my old age. Now, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm not asking you to do it, but I am asking all of us to be men and women who sacrifice. This is the kingdom way. Third theme, Macedonian churches, the Macedonian churches in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Read it with me. Paul writes to the church and he says this in this translation. Dear brothers, sisters, we want to tell you what God's grace has done for the churches in Macedonia. He said, these believers have been tested by great troubles and they're very poor. Wow. But their great joy caused them to be very generous in their giving. How does that work? Great poverty, very poor, yet they're very generous in their giving. I can tell you, verse 3, that they gave as much as they were able and even more than they could afford. They gave as much as they were able and more than they could afford. What is this? This is none other than sacrificial giving. No one told them to do it, it says. It was their idea. Verse 4, but they asked us again and again, and they begged us to let them share in the service for God's people. They heard about people. They heard about the other another area that was going in a very tough and challenging times. And even though that they had supernatural need in their life, they said, we don't care about us. We're going to give to them. We're going to put ourselves second. We're going to put our family second at this time right now. We're going to give to them. We've got men, we've got women, we've got families in our church that do this all the time. We've got people that have bought other people cars, given them car, things, help with house payments, help with rent, help with food, all the time. All the time. Why? They understand the issue concerning sacrificial giving. The last one I want to talk about, as we mentioned earlier, was this woman called Mary. Mary's costly perfume. Do you remember that? It was that Mary. It was that Mary. So in John chapter 12, verse 1 through 6, it says this. It says, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had risen from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance. But Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Verse 6, not because he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole for himself. We have this story that's detailed in the Bible that John talked about earlier in John 11. And the whole story talks about Lazarus, her brother, getting raised from the dead. And he mentions it's that Mary. And he tells us then in the next chapter, this is what that Mary did. When Jesus came, they provided a meal for him. And then Mary is so overcome with gratitude and affection for him that she breaks open this rare perfume. Judas Iscariot, who happens to be a thief, knows what it's worth. It's worth a year's salary. Stop, pump the brakes. What do you make a year? You got it. Would you give it? I can't. It's impossible. Okay, I understand that. But somehow, some way, this girl did it. This woman did it. She gave a year's salary away that set the stage for Jesus' burial. 6 days before the Passover, you know what's happened on Passover? Jesus is going to the cross. So the timing of the gift is of essence. God asks us to do and sacrifice so many times, whether it's our weekly or monthly tithe, or whether it's offerings or helping people. It's necessary right now. It has to happen right now. And God's constantly challenging us concerning this. Mary's gift, listen, Mary's gift was extravagant. It was extravagant. And it's interesting. Jesus didn't stop her. Jesus didn't say, no, 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 no. You don't have to. He welcomed it. There's something about devotion when it comes to our resources and our finances that God's given to us. He wants us to be people that sacrifice. And we don't want to identify with Judas the thief. Why wasn't this sold? Or, it's just the church and good enough. No, no. If the church is the body of Christ and the church represents the kingdom of God, everything that we need should be supplied, and God working in through us as his children as well. Can everybody say amen with that? Amen. The only person complaining was a thief. Godly devotion includes financial sacrifice. I want to encourage you, as you look at your own life, is my devotion in line with sacrificial giving? Is my life of devotion just in serving, just in worship? Is my sacrificial devotion just in my body, keeping my body in check, which is so, so important? Please don't minimize that. But I want to also be the one that God can count on to say, I'm going to put me beneath your kingdom and your cause and your people and whatever you want to do, because this that you've entrusted to my hand belongs to you. And to you be the glory as I give it to you. I believe that you will multiply the seed sown and bring it back to ways that I need it so I can continually be generous to everything God's put in my hand. Can you say amen, everybody? Come on, stand up real quick. Would you, Leo, brother, come up here and help me. So come on, this morning, I want you just to, come on, just close your eyes this morning. Close your eyes, what we heard this morning. Right now, these four accounts, where do you stand with the widow woman? What would you do, you and your child, you and your family? Nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to go. There's famine, there's no water, it hadn't rained, and come on, right now, the prophet said, you need to sacrifice. You need to give something to me first. Can you be like that woman? Lord, help me, help us trust you. Trust the word of God. Trust the prophet's word, Elijah. Trust the word of God. We don't have to be afraid to give, to be generous. First word to her was, do not fear. Listen to me. Don't fear, college student. Don't fear, single mom, single dad, married couple, retired couple, individual. Don't fear. We can trust God. How about David? All your heads bowed, your eyes closed. We talked about David, who God asked him to buy that threshing floor, buy that place. But it's got to cost you something. Is my giving costing me? How about like the Macedonians, that they were in poverty and need, yet they heard about a need from another community of fellow believers. And even though that they were facing financial uncertainty, they gave willingly, they gave generously, they gave just supernaturally. They gave, the account says, more than they could afford. Yet you took care of them. And Father, we're just saying today, we want to be like Mary. We want to give sacrificially out of our love and devotion to Jesus. We don't care what the world says or what the world thinks. We're going to honor you, Lord God, in our bodies. We're going to honor you with our serving. We're going to honor you with our worship. We're going to honor you with the resources you put into our hand. We're going to sacrifice, men and women who sacrifice. Look up here at me for a few minutes. I've told you this before if you've been in the church any length of time. I was raised in a family like this. I grew up like this. Mom and Dad had a missionary friend when I was a kid in New Jersey. Sixth grade, I think. Maybe fifth grade. Probably sixth grade. 1971. 1972, max. Missionaries came to town. I didn't know them. They stayed at the house one or two nights. Didn't know them. Baptist church. Mom and Dad got to know them a little bit. Didn't even know them until they came to the church. My dad was so touched by what they were doing and what their need was that we're going to be in the United States for a year raising support. Just a husband and a wife. My dad, we heard the story later after we realized what happened. My dad gave them the car. Gave them a 1970 Cougar for them to travel all around the United States and go church to church. Not to use it, to bring it back. Gave it to them. I watched my mom and dad give to building funds, sacrificially give, write big checks. My mom lived till she was 88, and she would every month write out 10 or 12 checks to different ministries and organizations. That's how I was raised. So we were in Canada, and a couple came to our town. We were pastoring a church, and listen to them. We broke. They're broke. I'm talking about mustard sandwiches, if you know what I'm saying. But we believe in God. And come on, your faith will be tested. Can you say amen? Anybody knows what I'm talking about? And a couple came to town from Alberta, and they totaled their car, and they wound up in our church. And I looked at Kimberly, and we had bought a car, a Toyota Camry, and it was paid for. And it had about, I don't know, 60, 50,000 miles on it. I'm planning this is going to be a 300,000 mile car. You know what I'm saying? I got plans for this car. This car is getting passed down to the grandchildren in Jesus' name. You know what I'm saying? And in prayer, God said, give him a car. And I'm like going, is there another voice up there? Come on. And we were able to do that. God took care of us. Had one car for a while. I bought a beater. I had a beater truck. I've been driving some beater trucks for a long time now. I'm okay with that. And a couple later on. Cars messed up, broke down. We had a van, Dodge Caravan. Gave him the Dodge Caravan. Just had it. Got to take care of you. If he's asking you to sacrifice, he's got a plan for your future. And what I can read in the scripture about tithing and giving offerings, and then, of course, over the above, generosity like Mary, and like these others, the Macedonian church. God will not be in a debt relationship with anybody. He's going to take care of you. Come on, everybody. Can you lift your hands and just say thank you? Come on, thank you. Come on, thank you. Come on, all over the room, Father God, I just thank you for just a spirit of generosity in our lives in these days. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be worried. Come on, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. Clap your hands. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's take care of some more business before we go. You've listened real good. That clock says 11:24. Dear Lord, we got out of church early today. We're almost done. Want to encourage you. Say this. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the secret sauce to the room isn't a bunch of people coming together just happy. It's people that have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives. And so if you're in the room and you're away from him, why don't you jump in to the plan and the purpose God has for your life? You do that by surrendering your life to him, saying yes to him and no to myself. That I want you in my life. I acknowledge you in my life. I desire you in my life. The scripture says that we repent, we change our mind, and we change our direction. We ask him to be the Lord of our life. And Romans 10 says when we ask him and we acknowledge him, he comes to take up residence in our heart and life by the Spirit of God. In our spirit, that's the scripture says in Ephesians 2, we were dead without Christ in the world. And yet God in his grace and his mercy through our faith comes to reside on the inside of us. What exchange. Grace is called a free gift. Free gift. So listen to me. If you want him this morning, he desperately wants you. He desperately wants you. He wants to have relationship with you. And your life will go in a trajectory, let me tell you, that you'd be amazed in the years, 5 years from now, looking back at a decision you make today as you continually grow in him, where God will take you. God took me as a 20-year-old kid in Tennessee, thinking I'm gonna be involved in real estate and business, and called me to be in the ministry. Never in my wildest dreams would I ever think I'm here. Well, 45 years later, here I am. Been doing it for 40 years. God will take you and bring you places and provide for you and show, just give you a life and a story that you say, my Lord, the Lord has been good to me. So come on, all over the room, come on with your eyes open and your head up. You just say, Pastor Gary, yeah, pray for me. We're all going to say a prayer out loud. You won't be by yourself. but you're just saying, I want Jesus in my life. Come on, when I count to three, just raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. We're all going to pray. We've all been there. Come on, one, two, three. Just say, pray for me all over the room. Come on, all over the room. Awesome. One, two. Come on, three, four, five, six. I don't know how. Seven. Awesome. Eight, nine, ten. Come on. 11. Something. Come on. Come on, everybody. Good. 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 So let's do that. Come on, let's say this prayer. Eyes open, heads raised. Come on. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, God raised Jesus from the dead. Be my Lord, my Savior, forever and ever. I repent. I change my mind. I'm changing my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen, amen, amen. Come on, we can clap better than that. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on, God's doing something amazing up in here. Come on, to God be the glory for the great things He's done. Come on, if you prayed that prayer, there's a connection card there in your seats. Do us a great, great favor. Take a second before you leave the service. Just sit down, fill that card out. Information, you made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you invited Him back in your life, or I want to find out some information about the Holy Spirit. In between the double doors on your way out, there's a basket there. Just put that card in there. We want to have record of your need today, how you prayed today, and how we can serve you better. Listen to me, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of a journey with God. I want to encourage you, keep coming to church. Be with the people of God. Hang out with God's people. Come on, leave all the loser people alone. I'm talking about people that are keeping you down. Leave them alone. Get you some new friends. Come on, everybody. Get you some people going in God's direction, and then be strong enough to reach those that were wayward. And God's going to start working in your life in a powerful way. God's doing something amazing. We're going to have an amazing Easter. Come on, some stuff coming up. Wow. Come on, Sabbath Sunday in 2 weeks. Amazing Good Friday service with communion. Easter is going to be amazing. So we love you. Listen, God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week. We'll see you soon. Amen. God bless you.